Yeah, I'm Will Nelson. I own property out in Chiniac. I live there. Drive 40 miles every morning to go to work and pay taxes in this community. I was born and raised here. My mom was born and raised here. My dad moved here in 69. And he started with nothing but a duffel bag and ambition. And he achieved the American dream by coming up in the fishing industry and finally buying into equipment and had his crane service here. And my parents have had to move. They sold everything and moved down to the States because of the property taxes here, because of all the astronomical spending that has been going on in the last at least 20 years. You know, I'm 31 years old, and just in my lifetime, I've seen things get out of control. You know, there's a lot of federal money that has been getting brought into the community. The landfill project, for one, you know, is it's just we bit off more than we could chew. And now we're stuck halfway through it. You know, they want us to conform to the lower 48 zoning codes. I understand for earmarked money and stuff. But what we need to do as a community is stand up and say, we're not going to take this. We're going to, this is what Kodiak is. This is how it's always been. This is how people have survived here forever, and we're not gonna stop doing that now and live in condos. Like, I have junk cars in my yard. I have, you know, woodsheds that probably don't fit the code. You know, I have all kinds of stuff that I'm trying to come up. I drive 40 miles to work 10 hours, 12, 14 hours a day. Then I drive home another 40 miles, and I don't have a whole lot of time to take care of the projects at home that I would like to. You know, I'm a single father. I have a lot going on, and a lot of people in this community have the same things going on in their lives. And I you people are members of our community too, you know, and I respect you for your service, and I just hope that you vote accordingly, because this is going to affect each and every one of us. And I hope that I can raise my son here, and he can grow up to be a productive member of this community also. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we've got two calls.
Okay.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Sandy Fearson. I was in the hallway for 2.5 hours tonight, and a lot of people addressed a lot of things that I find bothersome in the new code, but I haven't heard anyone address this. First off, the number that you're giving for the villages to call in is missing a digit, so the villages are not able to call in using the number that you're giving. Secondly, in the old code, there is comprehensive plans that cover lots of different sections of the island. They cover all of the villages. All of the villages have a comprehensive plan. Chuyak Island has a comprehensive plan. Even Menashka Bay has a comprehensive plan. The new code has one comprehensive plan for the entire island, which doesn't fit. One code for the entire island doesn't fit. And I think that this new code should be scrapped. And that's my comment for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And well, actually, before we hang up, the number that I was giving out is 855-492-9202. They might have to put a 1 in front of that, but
You were missing a 2 in there. You were given 855-499-2202. I heard you issue that.
Okay. Number. My bad then. I'm sorry. It's 855-492-9202. 855-492-9202.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Did we have do we have another phone call?
Mm-hmm. Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, this is Mike Brecken. Can you hear me?
We can. Please proceed.
Oh, goody. My name is Mike Breck, and I live at the Sag Shack. I have already given written comments to the to the Planning and Zoning Commission concerning the changes to the proposed zoning at the Sag Shack, and also my concerns about the zoning for industrial property that is, it has some real problems, and I think you're getting the general impression that most of us think this whole plan should be scrapped and take it up one section at a time again and make it work better. I had to think about one comment that was made by someone about Clarence Seelig, you know, and how difficult it was for the members of the Assembly or the Planning and Zoning Commission to stand up to staff and say, wait a minute. And I think that's something we got to commend them for doing more of it. It's a difficult time. This whole thing has been going on, and I have to agree with Mel Stevens. You should table it indefinitely and make another approach to solve the problem. I've read the code twice. I have a hard copy of it. What I haven't seen is the revisions that are coming out yet. I would hope that when they come out, you will categorize them by section if this thing goes forward, so at least we can make a reasonable evaluation of what's likely to come out of it. And I commend you folks for having the time and the forewith, and hopefully I'll be there at the next meeting if I can make it. It's really difficult in my reading this to compare the old code and the new codes and the comprehensive plans that were originally done back in around 2000 and that sort of thing. There's some big discrepancies there, but I put most of my comments in writing, and I appreciate you taking the time to look at them. So thank you very much. I was there for 2 hours in the hallway, too, and finally decided to come home. It's getting dark out here.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Bye.
Any more on the phone? All right. Now, just so people know, he's not getting up yet for a second one because he spoke at comments earlier. But we don't want people coming back up for a second bite yet because a lot of folks haven't had their first bite.
Do you want me to sign in again, or is that good enough for the first one?
No, we just, okay. Yeah, that's good.
So, for the record, Yasha Zabitnov again, speaking on behalf of all the community members here. While I was up here at 7:03, about 3 hours to the minute here, while I was sitting in the back, I went through and I counted up, and there's 154 pages in Title 17. There's 43 and 16, and there's 46 and 18. A total of 243 pages, as it sets right now. In Title 17, there's 5,578 lines to read. 1,772 lines in 16, 1,886 lines of code to read. Total, 9,236 lines of code to read for these three. It just so happens I had an email from back in earlier this year when I asked for a request for records, and contract number 2011-02 was the contract for LSL as a first change order for the code revision. It was, the original contract was for $268,450. They asked for one change order for $5,200 for a total of $273,650, what so far the borough spent. Now, there may have been additional change orders after that, but that's all I have right now. So if you want to look that up again, contract number 2011-02, change order 1. I've been here since the very beginning of the code process. I went to the first revisions up at the high school when they had the big plans, and everybody was in there in their own little groups, and contractors were on one, and fishermen were another. And so I've been from the very beginning. I went through, I don't know, probably a dozen of the work sessions with the commission and with everybody. We went through line by line. I sat there for the meeting, and we went through line by line, so I know the code, and it's very difficult to read. Even when you're in those meetings, it's tough. And I'll give it to them. If you're there, and it takes 3 hours every time, so you got to, I'll give my support to the Community Development Department because they have been doing a tough job of going through, and it's tough to read, and it's even tougher to write, but I think I agree with everybody else in town that it's not what we need right now. We're not Seattle, like everybody else has said. We're Kodiak. There's only, 13,000 of us here right now, and dying. This town's dying. People have brought up the price of the landfill. The folks in this community don't even realize what that's going to put on it right now. We're talking about over $42 million that the borough spent out there, or will spend. Now think about that when your taxes go up the next time. That's not even included in the property taxes yet. You got $60 to $80 million at the high school right now, not included. So I own a couple pieces of property, and like Jim Rippey said, it's getting to the point now where the people in this town are going to have to leave due to the increase in property taxes. Now, this doesn't speak directly to it, but if we keep hindering the town, people are going to leave, me included. I mean, you can't keep putting more and more burden on the community members and expect them to keep paying. Just the one violation in here is $1,000 per violation. So if you had 13 chickens, you get a $1,000 violation for your chicken. I mean, how can somebody in there come up and pay $1,000 for a chicken? Just to keep an extra chicken, you got to pay $1,000. I can't come up with $1,000 to half the time to do it, and I have a decent job. I work hard in this town. And there's a lot of people in here that don't have the fortune that I do to work hard and get a good wage. And if you start putting more and more taxes and fees on them, they're going to leave. And the foreclosure list is just going to keep getting bigger. And guess what happens? You just keep foreclosing, and then what? You're going to come start kicking people out of their homes because they can't pay their taxes and they can't pay the fees that you're making on them? Get real. Get real. You need to take this code, table all three sections. Don't vote on any of three yet until you get them all done. Because you're putting way too much out there for people to go through. There's no way that any one of you guys on that board can go through all three of these sections and vote on them next week. No way. Not possible. So take a minute, sit back, go through them, and hear what these people have to say. Because you know what? If these responses don't get put into the code, you're going to have a one hell of a fight on your hands. And these people aren't going to give up their property rights. And I guarantee if you come onto my property or anybody else's in this town unasked about, you better be careful. They're not going to just stand by and let you come on there and start taking stuff. Just keep that in mind. Thanks for all your support. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we have a caller.
Okay. We'll take the phone call.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. You're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Linda Sedam. Yeah, I just want to say that this is stupid. You guys should just table this forever. Obviously, you look at all the people that are pissed off in Kodiak. They don't want to hear anymore. It's dumb. Let everybody go home and go to bed. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for the call.
Looks like the clock's running. My name is Sid Pruitt. This is the third or fourth time I've been here. I sat through a work session and over the summer. I think Scott was the only one that was there. And I think it's the third night I've taken off work just to be here. I'm glad to see all the people showed out. I spent about 3 days in October going through this. When I was on vacation, I wrote a letter about 7 pages trying to figure out, you know, what it meant and how it affected me. And I don't think if you pass it as it is, there's not anybody who's not going to be guilty of something. And there's just a lot of rules, and most of my letter says make as few rules as possible and don't make them unless you really need them. I like Mel's idea about just tabling it indefinitely and taking one issue at a time. That way you could figure out what affects you and what doesn't. For example, I don't want anybody subdividing unless it's me. I mean, I got 3 lots. They're all 2 acres. And if I wanted to subdivide, I think I ought to be able to. But the people in Woodland, if they want to subdivide, it's up to them. If they don't, it's up to them. I remember when all that went through, they were all 1 acre lots. And then sewer and water went in there. Everybody went down and changed it into so they could subdivide them into two 20,000 square feet lots, half acre lots, or whatever it was. So now people want big lots, people want short lots. I like my privacy. I bought the property around me so people wouldn't bother me. I said I'm kind of out of sight, out of mind, and I got good neighbors on both sides. They don't complain about me that I know of, and I don't complain about them. If I have a problem with them, I go talk to them. I don't call the borough. And we used to not have a code enforcement person, and I kind of don't like that, the fact that the borough can come on your property and police what you're doing. Martin's been to my place once that I know of, and he went through, and I got nothing to hide. But It's just hard to decide what affects me in this. I've got a small business in town. I've had it for 35 years on this piece of property. It's a sanitary business. Most people know who I am. And according to the code, it's illegal out there. And they tell me that it's grandfathered in and won't be a problem. But someday I'm going to get rid of it, and somebody else is going to need to do it. And somebody's going to have to do it, and it's probably going to be somebody like me in my position, not somebody, one of the plumbers or one of the people in town. There's just so much stuff in here that we're all affected by. Usually I can take one item and digest it and try to figure out how it affects me and how I want to attack it, but there's just too much in this. You got noise restrictions, and I would like each one of you to get my letter out and read it. When I started building my house, there was no rules. I went out and lived on our lot while I built it. It took me about 10 years to build it, and I don't know if it's ever done, just like Jim Rippey said. And it's still probably not done, but I would like my son and daughter to be able to do something similar, like several younger people got up here and said that they would like to live in this town, and it's hard. It's really hard with all these rules. You just seems like you can't do anything, and you got to go beg for permission. And even when you get permission, then you still got to comply with so many things. And Mr. Fita got up and talked about the bond. I don't understand the bond. If you go and build your own house, you got to put up $50,000 for a bond to build your own house. If that's true, that's absolutely ridiculous. So I have no idea. That's just one of the areas that I don't know about. So I'd like to see it tabled, like Mel said, take one issue at a time, and then people can address it. Right now you just got a whole bunch of people who are angry, and they should be. And I know you guys, the commission put in a lot of time, and I don't know why you'd want to do it or why you did do it, you know, hours and hours and hours over the summer, over years. But it should make it as simple as possible so people can understand it, not wordy. Some of the things I understand, like the one woman got up and talked about, she thought she'll be able to do whatever you want to do on your lot. Well, back in the king crab days, people would buy lots, and then they'd put 500 crab pots in their lot and then go back to Seattle. That's one reason you can't just store fishing gear every place. And it should be screened. You know, we don't want that in residential areas. But reasonable storage, you know, if you're a fisherman, you got a skiff, you got gear, you got stuff, you got to be able to put it on your lot, you know, where you live. It's your property, not the borough's. Anyway, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, thank you. Could you pull the microphone down a little bit, please? Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carlene McChesney. I was born and raised in Kodiak, and I was married, and we had a restaurant here a very long time ago. But one thing that I do know and am experiencing today is a lot of my friends are leaving. They're leaving me all their stuff, so I'm having to clear up a bunch of stuff at home. But they're leaving, and I've ended up grieving. I called my brother up to tell him, oh, I have some things for you. He's lived in an apartment for 2 years. He had no heat. So my friends were leaving, and they gave me blankets and pillows and big bags of rice and food and things. And I called him up and said, can I get you these to you? He said, oh, on November 21st, I'm on the plane out of here. I'm moving to Billings. So I took him to lunch the next day, and then the next day I went over to his apartment to see him off at the airport, and he just kind of put his boots and shoes in a duffel bag, and he put his clothes in a Rubbermaid tote and had a little bag, and he left. And almost every day I talk with nice families where they have three kids, husband and wife and the mother, and really nice people are leaving, and it's just been a real time of grief, and they're leaving during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the family has gone ahead. And then my experience with some of my older friends. I'm a senior. I go to their house, and they don't have any heat, like my brother who lived 2 years with no heat. So I climb under their electric blanket in their bed. We put a movie in, just have a nice evening. But I'm finding a lot of people are living like that.
Thank you. Please sign in if you haven't already done so.
What?
Please sign in there if you haven't already done so. Can you stand by at the podium? Thank you.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. Please state your name for the record.
On this phone call, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm on the air then?
Yes. Please state your name.
All right. Maria Nault. I'm a 68-year resident of Kodiak. I have to admit, in recent years, I haven't paid enough attention to the articles in the paper that referenced borough addressing code revisions. However, this fall, I got a letter from the Kodiak Island Borough Community Development listing public meeting dates to discuss new regulations and also providing a map, which included, to my surprise, the downtown my downtown property on Yukon Street that has been owned by my family since 1940. That would be like 75 years. The map further stated, quote, request a rezone pursuant to KIBC 17.205 to rezone portions of downtown Kodiak from B-business to the new DB-downtown business. I was really pretty mystified. So I contacted a couple of longtime downtown Kodiak property owners and asked them, do you know anything about this? And nobody knew much about it. I never requested a rezone of downtown property, and I don't know of anyone who did. You know, at first I was pretty concerned about myself. I was thinking, oh, how is this going to affect me? Well, after I attended a couple of the October meetings and listened to the concerns of other property owners, that's when I became to realize how large a project that this was and how encompassing this proposal was. And at this point, I don't even really care about the rezone of my downtown property and how it will affect me, because these concerns seem pretty petty in the face of the big picture of potential impact of this major code revision on our borough's citizens. I think you should toss out this revision. Normally, I would be concerned about the money that has already been spent, but in this case, let's just cut our losses and toss out this code revision in its entirety. But one more thing I'd like to state to the Kodiak community is that we need to attend all meetings, and don't assume that you can attend one or two meetings and that your feelings will prevail. Attend P&Z meetings, attend borough work sessions and meetings, provide written or oral testimony. If you can't attend, ask a family member or friend to attend in your place. It's that important. And above all, we recently elected new borough assembly members. That wasn't an accident. We did it for a reason, because we want to change. Please support these new members. Call them. Show up to help them at meetings. Let's not leave them hanging out to dry like we did Mel, who served us well. It's the only way that we're going to see the change that we voted for. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
My name is Garrett Cavanaugh. I'm 16 years old and I will graduate this May. I'm concerned about the revision to Title 17. One of my major concerns is the restriction of accessory buildings. As a young fisherman, I see myself buying property and building a modest house. By doing this, I'd be limiting the size of my secondary buildings to the same square footage as my house. So my shop, my shed, the banya, all together can't be more than my house. This means I have to be able to build a larger house, buy more land to accommodate my career. I'm a fisherman and I need to be able to store my gear and my personal things. It is also ridiculous that the borough might require, I find, as much as 230% financing on any improvement I plan. How can I ever expect bank to back 130%? What if I'm building without financing? I could never come up with an extra cost of that out of pocket. I'd like to believe that Kodiak will be my home. Maybe not. Maybe I'll need to leave and take my income with me.
Thank you for your comment.
Hello, my name is Chris Ford,
and I want to thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. A few of the complaints about the code revision are if a use is not listed, it is prohibited, and how much authority is given to the director of the planning and zoning and the designees, the equality of the codes between the city, the villages, and the rest of the borough. Some of the wording can be so vague that it can be open to wide interpretation. What can be considered a junkyard, 100 square feet, or a 10 by 10 square foot area, may be parts or pieces someone is using to make into a project or rebuilding something. I won't go over the chickens or livestock because I feel Judy Hamilton spoke best on that. In my interpretation on electric fences in the code, there is conflicting information. In my opinion, shipping containers should be allowed as accessory structures in person yards if they so desire. It is cheaper to purchase a shipping container than it is to build something the same size for storage, and I have seen many people using them in Kodiak for years. I feel a person does not need to get a permit for a sign, let alone pay for the permit for a sign. I feel there's too many rules here for signs, considering there are 4 pages just on signs alone in the new revision. I do not agree that a person needs to get permission for a home-based business, and if someone so chooses to have heavy equipment, dump trucks or backhoes on their property, I feel they should be able to do so. I could go on about what I do not like about the code revisions. In short, I will say that the code revisions that have been set before us need to be scrapped, and the people of Kodiak need to revise the codes themselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, take the phone call.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, you're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Stephen Faust.
Say your last name again, please.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Faust.
Thank you. You may go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of concerned about all these revisions. I don't know why they had to be all bundled up into a big jumble of mess that they are. I know you spent a lot of work on them, but I think the best place for them right now is a garbage can. And if you want to change something, change it one thing at a time as it needs changing. And this whole sweet thing that you're trying to do is a waste of time and a waste of money. And I'm not happy with it. And doesn't sound like very many other people are either. That's about all I got to say about it.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Good evening. My name's Chaco Pierman, and I came up here earlier and sat outside for a little while, and the halls were packed, and there wasn't any parking outside. So I went home, finished watching the rest of the football game, and listened to the proceedings over the radio. And in general, everybody's comment, I haven't heard anybody jump up and down and scream and say, let's pass this thing, we've got to do it, you have our support. I don't think that's the message that's being delivered tonight. But I had some thoughts about it, and some of it was that I came here in 1972 from a fairly sheltered background. Didn't know what a crescent wrench was when I got here. I've had, Kodiak's been great to me. I plan on dying here, or I did for a long time. I've been having second thoughts about that for various reasons. But I've worked as a commercial fisherman. I've worked as a roofer. I've worked as a carpenter. I've worked on the North Slope. I've been a laborer. It's been a fascinating run. And I'm like everybody else here, fiercely independent. Like to do things myself for myself. And I was sitting there and I thought, you know, if we keep going down this path, there will be one thing that will have been accomplished with this, is we will have created a new classification of job. And it'll be just like going on the website for healthcare. You will need a navigator to be able to get through this, to get anything done, to build anything, to do anything, because it's going to be so complicated. None of us that are working a real job somewhere else are going to be able to do it ourselves because of the complexity of it all. So let's don't do this. Let's keep it simple. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I've been in Kodiak for...
State your name, please.
What's that?
State your name, please.
Okay, my name's Court Neff. I'm a building contractor, mostly do drywall, insulation, and painting. Been in Kodiak for 35 years, and I really loved Kodiak when I first came here. I loved it. It was just something that just grabbed my heart. And I got the opportunity to just build out of debt. You know, I started out with in the flats with a little camper. This person let me stay in their land in a camper, and it was just I got to hunt and fish and really enjoy Kodiak, but I worked enough to pay my bills for the most part, and eventually I started saving money, and because I could afford to save money, basically, and worked more also, that helped, but I really feel for the people of Kodiak often, the people that have to buy a home in a 10,000 square foot lot for $400,000, if they can get a lot for $50,000, and it's just in the codes I've seen over the time, I've seen the things that happened with people, the borough's attitude. It used to be a friendly place to be. When I first came there, really the inspectors and everybody else were actually pretty nice people, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying they're not nice anymore, but I do feel that what the requirements were put on them, the pressures of new regulations and all that, made it where they had to protect the integrity of what they were doing. They had to be less friendly to people. And I really don't like the code enforcement guy, because one of the things I saw that was changed was the borough would tell you, well, how we enforce things is complaint-based. It's a neighborly thing. If, you know, we look at it, if the neighbors are irritated, they can complain and we can do something about it. But otherwise, we're not going to go looking for trouble. We're not going to go searching warrantless searches everywhere. So I'd like to see that eliminated. I'd like to see the code revisited that we already have and see what we could take out of it, because the time I've seen, I haven't seen buildings falling down that were built before then. I haven't seen flaming up everywhere. And I haven't seen all the people I've talked to that have been here for years. I haven't seen any of them say, boy, I wish government would make more rules because of my neighbor's chickens. Boy, I wish government would make more rules because of this. But I have seen I've seen one person, he was on the borough assembly, I won't name his name, he did say, I wish the government would make more about building. But anyways, it wasn't any of you guys. And if people in the villages, they build stuff however they want. Right now the code is for, I understand, a mile and a half off the road. It's like, build however you want, we're not going to come check it. I don't see huge disasters happening to anybody. I don't see anybody saying, we're worried about those people out there in the village. I don't see the people in the village saying, I'm worried about my neighbor who's going to burn me up or whatever. It's just, I don't see anybody that wants more government regulation, because they're concerned about safety, the environment, saving the planet, whatever the reasons may be. For my experience, people really want a lot less government involvement. They really want to see a lot less taxes. I, as a building contractor, I've got some exposure. I see the more expenses. I make more money sometimes because of these regulations, but I don't like it in a lot of ways. I don't like seeing people. My one contractor I just talked to said that recently they're making them have engineered foundations, period, if they're not a full slab foundation. And I don't know, for everybody I talk to, most of the time that means thousands of dollars more that they have to pay. So that means thousands of dollars more they have to charge. And for years, people have been doing just fine. Nobody's houses are falling in. And the ones that are, most of the contractors I know, they want to do a good job. They're going to have to stand behind their work. And their foundations are great and everything else. There isn't any cases that justify what's going on. All this stuff is being created with no people, no consensus anywhere of, oh, yes, we need government to save us. We don't. We don't need more. I say scrap the code enforcement officer. Go back to the old code. See what we can do to remove a lot of that stuff. That's all I have.
Thank you.
We've got two callers.
Okay.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting here on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name's Matthew McNerney. I've been living in the city for 30-plus years. As a commercial fisherman, got back into the construction industry, and I now work for the municipality of Kodiak. I just recently purchased a house here. Been about 7 years now, and I'm trying to make it a better place. I've got all kinds of building materials stored around my yard. I understand that would make me in non-compliance. I wouldn't be able to move those in the day that it would take for someone to come and complain and write me a ticket. So I don't know really how I would be able to cope with that. It sounds like I'm in the same boat as most of my constituents in the community. I don't remember requesting an updated code, but, you know, I do realize that that could be a necessity. As I've been working on this house and trying to make it weatherproof, I've noticed that most of the carpentry was probably done by a plumber, and most of the plumbing was probably done by a carpenter. So I guess they were kind of getting around the code at the time of this construction. And I do realize that there are important facets of code that we have to go by to make sure that structures are compliant with the safety values that we need today. But I think we should be doing it, like they were saying earlier, on an open basis, where we all know what's going on and we all can agree that that's a necessity. I was standing out in the hall earlier tonight too, and I appreciate all the people that showed up to express their concern with what's going on here. I was unable to stick around, so I am glad that you allow us to call in and listen on the radio. I do appreciate all the other people that are taking their time, especially away from football, to partake in this. I appreciate your time. As I understand, you are a volunteer, and I know you've been putting your best effort forward to do this. And I realize all the people out in the hallway are putting their best effort forward, and I do appreciate being part of the community of Kodiak. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you for the call.
Planning and Zoning Special Meeting.
Yeah, this is Tim Booch calling. Yeah, Lisa's upstairs. I was there about 6:20, and there were so many people in the hallway. I just went over to the library, released the works, and checked out a computer and went on the KMXT site and listened. And then Lisa and I would have come over there, but we had to hightail it back out here at Woman's Bay because the river was coming over the road. But anyway, I was kind of surprised by the first guy that spoke, and I thought he was spot on. And I've really enjoyed listening to my brothers and sisters, my neighbors, with their heartfelt, really thoughtful comments. And I think we'll all agree that one of you guys, Scott or somebody up there, you need to make a motion for a resolution to table this vote next week. I don't care where the meeting is. I'm sure all of us and many more will be at it. But you just, it's obvious you can't be voting on this thing next week. And so this may not have been the best time to throw this out there. but I guess we're getting close to the end of the meeting, and I just was compelled to throw that in as a suggestion, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and Lisa and I, we should just not adopt this. We should go back. Mel put it perfect. Rick, you did a great job. Jim, all of us. But anyway, Scott or somebody, please make a motion for a resolution to not vote on this next week, the 28th. I think that was the date. So anyway, that's what I have to say. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for the call.
Good evening. I'm Todd Heiner. Appreciate what you guys are doing. Got five kids, and they all want to raise families here, and I don't want to see them leave. Been in Kodiak over 50 years. I was raised in a commercial king crab fishing family, and right out of high school, I got to start running a boat. I've seen a lot of people talking here of how they built houses out of pocket, and that's my dream for my kids. You know, there's not a lot of money out there and big money paying jobs that a lot of people can afford to get into a house and raise kids in Kodiak. I was in the rationalization process when the government came and said that we got to downsize our commercial crab fishing fleet in the Bering Sea from 250 boats to 50 or 60 like now. We all fought dearly against the rationalization. It was free enterprise. They were taking away a right that we had. And it was a government mandate that told this council to do this. Ron Painter was involved with it. The thing that I see here that gets me is I was an individual and I went up there and I testified. I spent years of going to the council. I saw a lot of independent people going there and pleading our case, and how can you do this to us? And they kept saying, this ball is rolling. You better get on board or steer it where you want it. So coming out of that process, and now we got 50 or 60 boats out there, and they're fishing other people's quota, and we gave away a state resource to individual people. It's a government's ploy to have control, okay? So I'm going to jump off of that story, and it was affected, and there's no longer free enterprise for the commercial fishermen in the crab rationalization. And then I see a Walmart. I'm using this as an example. I see a Walmart come into my town. I used to spend a lot of time downtown at Wadlinger's, AC's. It was just a neat town. And then you see, what I'm trying to say is, until you're affected by something, you don't really get on the wagon. And I see this now, this process has been going on for a while, but I see that people are starting to realize this affects me. And out of the rationalization process, I saw boats that were represented from Washington, the 25, 30 people, and they put money up to lawyers. And when those lawyers spoke at that testimony time, the council would go around and want to talk to them because they're representing a lot of people. And so, looking back on that process, I wish we would have got a bunch of people involved. But not only were they doing it to us, they decided right at the end, well, we'll throw processor shares in too. And then we'll throw skipper shares in too. And all of a sudden, you have all these people fighting, and this ball is rolling. So what I could say to Kodiak is, if we could group together, even if we have to get an attorney or a lawyer and all put in a little bit of money and have somebody represent us, it's, you know, let's say there's a couple thousand of us. I think that makes a better statement than these testimonies. A lot of times I felt really sad walking away from my testimony because I'm looking at the council members and they're rolling their eyes and, oh, it's just another private enterprise, you know. So looking at the Walmart and what it did to our town, and it took away all of the mom-pa stores, the specialty stores, and looking at what downtown did to us, and it's huge companies and corporations that are pushing this. This is an Agenda 21 item that's being forced all over America. They're trying to ruin America, other nations, and just get on the web and check out Agenda 21. They want to, I don't even want to go there, but I'm proud of our community for coming up here. I know I have a son that testified here too, and there's a lot of young people that want to build out a pocket, that want to make it work. They want to live here. They want to live here like their families lived here. I think Kodiak's an awesome place, but when we get outsiders coming in and telling us how we should do it, why are we going to outsiders? They've already screwed up the lower 48. Why did we let them come into our community and tell us what they think we should do? I used to like to ride my four-wheeler around and just have fun in Kodiak and go out fishing, and now I don't even know if I can launch a boat on my property anymore. I mean, there are so many little things in this whole mess. I think we need to table it. I'm rambling. Sorry. Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mark Allwart. I'm a business owner here in town. We have two boats, my father and I. Multiple properties. One of the things that I keep hearing is, you know, throw this thing out, table it. I think it's a great idea. I also hear outsiders coming in to write our borough revisions for our codes. And I had heard a little story about one of the architects, and that word kind of brings up a big thing in my head when it comes to something like Obamacare, and the architect of that was quoted as saying, American people are stupid. We're just going to pass this thing. Nobody's going to read it, and we're going to get it passed. We're going to have it. And in all accounts, it looks like it's failing, and that guy called us stupid. Now, we have an architect here that went through, and I don't think he was an MIT professor, but I did hear that he was fired for doing this in Manatee County, Florida. I also heard he was fired in Island County, Washington.
Mr. Allwart, just talk to the issues, not to personalities, please.
No, definitely not a personality that I'm talking about. It's a fact that our borough went and hired somebody from outside that had failed to do the job that they was hired to do before.
Yes. Speaking about an individual, speak about the code, please.
Okay. The idea of having someone come onto my property and look into my windows without being asked to come onto my property, without being allowed to come on my property, which is posted, all I can say is bring Kevlar, because if somebody's looking in my windows, they're likely going to get shot. And you know, it's just an American right to have privacy. And if the borough wants to know what I'm doing, they can ask me, they can call me, and be happy to you know, adhere to whatever they want to do to some limit. In this Agenda 21, which I hope people will please read it and learn up about it. It's pretty incredible what's going on around the world. Just recently, we had this issue in France. It was horrible. Horrible travesty. And yet our government didn't go over there and say, hey, we're with you. Here, you've got 300 people when I first got here at the beginning of the meeting out in the parking lot. There was 150 in the hallway, and this place was packed. People were sitting all over the place. To me, that's kind of like that big thing in France where they had all millions of people marching for a reason that was of a very good, valid point. You've got people here that are here for a valid point. Not one person all night, I've been here from the beginning, has said they were in favor of this. So I am hoping that that is a resounding idea in everyone's head that maybe this isn't the way we should go. And to address the high school back here, the big glass house in the back, and having an over budget in a borough that has allowed that budget to, the contracts of the budget to go over upwards of $60 million above what the people in this community voted in, it's a travesty when Mary gets up here and tells us there's people here that can't afford heating fuel for their house, and we're, okay, let's spend an extra $60 million on a high school that's way out of line for what we need in this community with a shrinking population. So when it comes to borough code and addressing the high school, there's been a lot of problems in the lower 48 with people walking into schools and doing shooting, and it's been just horrific what's happened down there. And I advise everybody in our community to take a walk through that high school up there. It's a glass building with safety glass, but it's not bulletproof glass. I have children in that high school, and I'll tell you, it's a little scary because there's nobody that's protected up there. And borough code should be protecting our children. They should be steel doors locked down. The teacher can lock the door. Nobody can get in. Right now, you can shoot through the wall and shoot through several classrooms. And I tell you, it's pretty sick. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's about 10 till 11. We have maybe time for one more, and so we can then wrap up for this evening by 11. Cool. We have somebody on the phone?
Mm-hmm. Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. You're on the air. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, good evening. My name is Ted Panamarioff. I sat on the PAC for over 2 years. I got to admit, I was sadly, actually very disappointed in the consultant and in the way the process ended up working out. I don't think we accomplished anything. However, you know, the work that we did added 17 pages because we chose to simplify it by adding more information or details into it. And I guess for whatever reason, because maybe it was longer, planning and zoning was didn't accept it. And then I don't know where this process that they are now trying to shove down our throat came from, but I'm ashamed. I was born here. I've lived here my entire life, over 55 years. Always have been very proud of Kodiak, and Kodiak as a community, I still will be proud of. I am really, really ashamed of these people doing work in the name of my community. Whoever put this forward, I mean, what kind of delusions did they have? They heard many of the people who sit on planning and zoning sat in the PAC in the meetings with us. They heard the public comment. They saw the work that we did, and then the consultants would send it, bring it back to us at the next meeting, and it was totally foreign, using words and stuff, you know, the chickens thing. I don't think there was a meeting we had that the chickens thing didn't come up. It was constantly being manipulated by some people from Minneapolis who probably didn't have any experience in real, true rural America, especially Alaska. I'm really frustrated. I think that this thing needs to be, like, you know, Stephen said, tabled indefinitely until such time as the community can really have their input and get rid of all of this other stuff here. We don't need that. This is America. It's embarrassing. You know, I put a lot of hours, as did, you know, Mark Anderson, Dan Rohrer, Andy Schroeder, Alan Torres, and some others on this committee. I mean, there were some nights that we were there over 5 hours. And to see all of the work that we did in simplifying it, and we did do that to the degree we were able, to see all of that thrown out, and now this come in here, it's like militaristic. Anyway, I think you got my point. You know, and I would sit on that committee again if given the opportunity, no matter how long it took. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the call. All right, yeah, it's 5 till 11. I say our bylaws, aside from common sense, tells us it's probably getting time to wrap this up. Mr. Arndt?
Move to postpone until January 28, 2015, planning and zoning special meeting. And I need a second, then I'd like to speak.
Second.
One of the things I'd like to say is this is not being passed at the next meeting or any foreseeable meeting. All this is doing is moving it on to get some additional testimony, since there's people that were not able to get up here tonight. We need to try and find another location to accommodate, I think, so people don't feel that they're being alienated because they can't get in the room. So that's what I'm trying to do right now. This is not going forward to doing any what do I want to say? Approval of this. There's a long process, as I see it, ahead of this. And so happy to see everybody that was able to get up to the podium tonight or call in and speak. And thank you very much.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. A roll call, please.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Ms. Rabeck?
Yes. Ms.
Painter?
Yes.
Mr.
Arndt? Yes.
Okay, so we're down now to communications. On here it says code update, submitted comments. Is there any additional report from staff on that? And then other reports. Our meeting schedule, we have a work session, just our regular monthly work session on Wednesday of this week, the 14th. Then we have our regular January meeting on the 21st at 6:30 here in the Assembly Chambers. We have a continuation of the code update special meeting on January 28, 2015, and we will look for another place to camp out that night. We also have another hearing set for February 4 on the code update, site to be determined, I guess. February 11, work session at 6:30 in the KIB conference room. February 18, a regular meeting at 6:30 here in the Assembly Chambers.
Move to accept reports as presented.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, we're down now to citizens' comments, and this was not another chance to get up and speak about the code update, but if someone does want to speak, the local phone number is 486-3231, the toll-free phone number 855-492-9202. Limit here to 3 minutes per speaker.
Be just a few seconds. Sir, we're repeating the mistakes of tonight. If we're going to try and hold this in this venue, it's not going to work again, and we're going to have to postpone it out. I would request that you seek a different venue for all of these meetings from here on out, please.
Yeah. Thank you. We indicated we would do that. Thank you for your comments.
I'm sorry, sir, but the last one you brought back to the last meeting you put back in this room.
The February.
It might not have been what you have written down, but it's what you spoke.
All right. Well, yeah, we have January 28 and February 4, the next two public hearings, and both of those we'll try to find other places for them.
Just, thank you. I thought we had one slipping back in. Appreciate it.
Could you push that?
I have a question out of my own ignorance in that. What's the process? How does this go forward now? You have these work sessions, and then there's at some point you all vote on it and up or down, and it moves on to the assembly. And what's the time frame? How does that work? Enlighten us that don't know, if you would, please.
You're covering a lot of ground and some of it that we haven't covered yet. But in theory, yes, we will at some point vote. In my personal view, if we get to that point, it's going to be a long time to do it if we actually go through the code and talk about things to change. It would take a while. But when we would ultimately get that done, it would go to the assembly. And time frame, there is no set time frame, kind of as long as it takes.
And then when it gets to the assembly process, is there a comment period for the public there again,
yeah,
where they
certainly
can come
yeah.
forward and
yeah.
and show their support for whatever the motion is?
Correct. It's okay. A whole nother, they would do it by ordinance, basically, which requires two hearings and having a public hearing at the second hearing. Mr. Arndt.
One thing I'd like to clarify is in the process, this will come back and amendments by the commission will be introduced and voted up or down by the majority, which I foresee many amendments to this code if we're able to even get that far on it. And so it's a very extended period of time that this is going to take. But what happens is members of the commission will be looking to make, based upon the testimony that we've received over these meetings, make amendments to the code and see how it goes with the commission. But then it would also be my feeling personally that we go back out for a public hearings on that revised draft. So I see this taking at least another year.
Thank you. So it's actually after 11 o'clock, I guess, with no objection. I have one more person apparently wants to make a comment. Then we have a few other things on the agenda. Let's try to proceed, please.
Okay, it's Judy Kidder again. I'd just like the PNZ and also the borough to be looking with a vision to how they can expand small business in Kodiak. Instead of telling us what we can't do, see if you can work with part of this code to promoting small business, which will increase the tax base, which will increase employment, which will help this town to grow. And that's something that I don't see in this code. It's all about what you can't do. There's nothing in there what you can do to make this thing grow. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're down now to staff comments. No staff comments. Commissioner comments. Mr. Rebeck, you have anything to?
I'd like to thank everybody that came tonight and just want you to know that it's not us versus them, it's we.
Mr. Baldwin.
I'm the newest one on the commission here, but I do have to say I was very impressed. Very moving to see all the people come and the ones that weren't able to. So I want to say thank you for all the support.
Thank you. Ms. Painter?
I just wanted to let everyone know at the appropriate time, I as a commissioner will make a motion to table indefinitely the proposed code. I believe that private... I believe that private property is the most important guarantee of our freedom. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Arndt?
Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's been a long process in reviewing this. I've only been on here for a year, and it's been very frustrating going through some of the work sessions because many times you go through, and I found I was in the minority. But you made me feel good tonight, so thank you for coming.
Right. Well, by my unofficial count, we had 69 people testify today, although Mr. Zbitnov got up twice, so I guess 68. But that's still, from my point of view, a tremendous turnout. The seven people that serve on the commission, we have two that are out of town, have lived in Kodiak for a combined total of 218 years. That's an average about 31 per seat. And I'll give any commissioner a chance to disagree with me on this, but I think I'm on firm ground when I say that we all enjoy living here. It's our home. I consider myself most fortunate to be able to live here. The concept of 13 or 14,000 people living in safety, generally good health, and comfortably, while surrounded by this awe-inspiring natural beauty and on an island that by any stretch of the imagination is remote, I mean, it's extraordinary. Yeah, I think it's a privilege to live here. Each of us takes the job of serving on the commission seriously. You know, we've been doing a lot of work on this for a year and a half, if not longer. We are all motivated by what is best for the common good, not what's good for one person here, one person there, what's good for the common good. I point this out not because I want you to think that we somehow are better equipped than any of you. No, but we are invested in this community as well. It's our home. We want it to continue to thrive. We want it to continue to be a place we want to live. See, we've been working on this. We've had public hearings beginning in the summer of 2013, the rest of that year, all of 2014. I'm not saying this to fault anybody, but it's about time. We've been wanting to hear from the public. We've made the chances there for people to come forward and tell us what they think. We took what the PAC put together, and some people have commented, and that was done primarily by an outside consultant. We took that and tried to work with it to make it something that would be best for Kodiak. So that's the product of the seven people on the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's not the product of somebody from outside. It's what we tried to put together. People have complained, on the one hand, that the existing code is great and it doesn't need to be fixed, but on the other hand, that there's a lot of vagueness and uncertainty. Well, to get rid of the vagueness and uncertainty, unfortunately, you gotta add words, you gotta add definitions, you gotta get specific. That's what we tried to do. And it'd be real helpful. I mean, the borough has a lot of money invested in this. We've got a lot of time, and I'd hate to just throw it out because I think we're with something we could work with. Any kind of code is tough. Yeah, I used to be a lawyer. I'm retired now, but in law school had to study the Uniform Commercial Code and various other codes, and it's just a pain in the patootie to read a code because you got to go back and forth. You're not going to get rid of that kind of stuff with a code. To make a code work, you got to have specific definitions, and yet to get more specific, to take away the opportunity for staff to interpret things, well, it takes more words. You kind of can't have both. Let's not have any rules, but let's not have staff not interpret things. I mean, we need more words if you don't want staff to be able to be arbitrary. Now, I'm not saying they are, but that's what I've heard some people implying. So what I would like to see happen, and again, I appreciate this energy. I hope we can harness it. It took me several weeks, and I have time, you know, but I wouldn't do it more than an hour or two a day because you start to get loony. You can only do it about an hour or so a day, but read it over. Let's try to sell. I think there's a lot of good stuff in the new code, and I think there's a lot of stuff that's in it that's already in the existing code. It's just been moved around a little bit. So, and as Mr. Arndt had noticed, you know, the commission itself didn't agree on a lot of the stuff that's in that draft. But we got to the point, let's get it out to the public and see what they have to say. Well, yeah, but these conclusions, if you will, let's just throw it out. Yeah, that sounds all...
Well, that's what they said.
I understand it, but there's 14,000 people on this island. So, yeah, we would like to move forward on this. So I'm going to wrap up my comments. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
At 11:10.
Yes, thank you.